Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, chapter 3, entitled The Birth of Lord Krishna, text number 11. Savismayat phula vilochano hanin. Savismayat phula vilochano hanin. Sutam vilokya nakodunda bistada. Sutam vilokya nakodunda bistada. Krishna vatarutsav sambrahma sprishan. Krishna avatarotsav sambrahma spishan. Muda dvijevo yutama pluto gavam. Muda dvijevo yutama pluto gavam. Savismayut phula vilochano harin. Sutam vilokya nakadunda bistada. Krishna avatarotsav sambrahma spritam. Muda dvijebhyo yutama pluto gavam.
One hero. Someone. One lady. Ladies. Saha, he, Vasudev, also known as Anakadundabi, Vismaya Utfula Vilochanaha, his eyes being struck with wonder at the beautiful appearance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Harim, Lord Hari, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sutam, as his son. Vilokya, observing. Anakadundubi, Vasudev. Tada, at that time. Krishna Avatarutsava.
For a festival to be observed because of Krishna's appearance.
Sambrahma,
wishing to welcome the Lord with great respect.
Ashprishad,
took advantage by distributing
muda
with great jubilation.
Dvijebhya,
to the brahmanas.
Ayutam,
10,000.
Aplutaha,
overwhelmed,
surcharged.
Gavam,
cows.
When Vasudev saw this extraordinary sun, his eyes were struck with wonder. In transcendental jubilation, he mentally collected 10,000 cows and distributed them among the brahmanas as a transcendental festival. Purport. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur had analyzed the wonder of Vasudev upon seeing his extraordinary child. Vasudev was shivering with wonder to see a newborn child decorated so nicely with valuable garments and gems. He could immediately understand that the Supreme Personality of Godhead had appeared, not as an ordinary child, but in his original, fully decorated four-handed form. The first wonder was that the Lord was not afraid to appear within the prison house of Kamsa, where Vasudeva and Devaki were interned. Second, although the Lord, the Supreme Transcendence, is all-pervading, he had appeared from the womb of Devaki. The third point of wonder, therefore, was that a child could take birth from the womb so nicely decorated. Fourth, the Supreme Personality of Godhead was Vasudeva's worshipable deity, yet had taken birth as his son. For all these reasons, Vasudeva was transcendentally jubilant, and he wanted to perform a festival as Kshatriyas do to celebrate the birth of a child. But because of his imprisonment, he was unable to do it externally. Therefore, he performed the festival within his mind. This was just as good. If one cannot externally serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one can serve the Lord within one's mind, since the activities of the mind are as good as those of the other senses. This is called the non-dual or absolute situation, Advaya Gyan. People generally perform ritualistic ceremonies for the birth of a child. Why then should Vasudev not have performed such a ceremony when the Supreme Lord appeared at his son?
Om Agyanati Manandasya Ginandana Salakya Shakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Nama Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapanantikam Vandeham Sri Gurun Sri Yutapada Kamalam Sri Gurun Vaisnavamstha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijanasaitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sagana Lalita Sivisakran Vitamstha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopisa Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneswari Visabhanu Suta Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchaka Patrubhyacha Kripa Sindhubhyacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaisnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadada Sivasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
As Srila Prabhupada mentions in the previous words,
verse, it is clear from the word Chaturbhujam that Krishna first appeared with four hands as Lord Vishnu. No ordinary child in human society has ever been born with four hands. And when is a child born with fully grown hair? So in this way, Krishna appeared very clearly showing the world that the Supreme Personality of Godhead had appeared. It's said that Krishna appeared from the heart of Devaki. It is also stated that Vasudev was in that state of pure goodness. And when his consciousness was in pure goodness, then from his consciousness, the Lord was transferred to the consciousness of Devaki. And in that way, the conception took place. And then Krishna entered into the heart of Devaki. And at that point, she became extraordinarily beautiful, like she had never been. Kamsa could see. Now, that person who has been prophesied to kill me must be within her womb. Now he must be within her womb. Kamsa was certainly not held back by a conscience. He was not feeling guilty about killing. That was not the issue. But Kamsa had some concern for the social opinion, knowing well that as a king, that people would not follow him if he was deviating from moral standards. So therefore, such a heinous activity as abortion was not an option. So what to do? He had to wait for the child to be born. But then, it was enough. Enough dharma, enough morality. Then he was ready. He was totally ready. We remember what transpired before. We remember how Vasudev had married Devaki, and it was a wonderful royal procession. So many maidservants were also following the procession. Many chariots were there, and Kamsa was personally riding the chariot of Devaki, and Vasudev and Devaki in the back of the chariot were driving along, and so many people were there to watch. That's when that voice, that celestial voice, spoke. You fool, you Kamsa, don't you know that the eighth son of your sister will be the cause of your death? So that was something very, very shocking. So at that time we see how Kamsa was taking action and was didn't care about anything. He was ready to kill Devaki. He raised his sword, was ready to kill. And that's when Vasudev tried different things. We can look at a few verses. Just a moment. Where are those verses? Yeah. So Vasudev was first beginning to preach to Kamsa. And he was trying to convince Kamsa that everything, that it wasn't right. Let me read a few verses. At the time of death, according to the thinking, feeling and willing of the mind, which is involved in fruitive activities, one receives a particular body. In other words, the body develops according to the activities of the mind. Changes of body are due to the flickering of the mind, for otherwise the soul could remain in its original spiritual body. So Vasudev is deeply realized, is that the mind is flickering, and therefore we are changing from one body to another. And if the mind was fixed, then the soul could remain in its original spiritual body. Very nice. When the luminaries in the sky, such as the moon, the sun, and the stars, are reflected in liquids like oil or water, they appear to be of different shapes, sometimes round, sometimes long, and so on, because of the movements of the wind. Similarly, when the living entities, the soul, is absorbed in materialistic thoughts, he accepts various manifestations as his own identity because of ignorance. In other words, one is bewildered by mental concoction because of agitation from the modes of material nature. So here there are vats with water or with oil, and the luminaries in the sky, such as the sun and moon, reflect in such vats. But because there is some wind, they may sometimes look long, sometimes round. In the same way, we take so many forms and shapes, sometimes tall, sometimes short, sometimes human, sometimes animal. And Kamsa, in other words, was completely identifying with the material body. He had completely forgotten that eternal aspect, although he had heard it so many times, because transcendental knowledge was still very widely available at that time, 5,000 years ago. Therefore, although Kamsa had heard transcendental knowledge many, many times, he had heard it many times that he was not this body. He had heard many, many times that the soul exists separate from the body. He knew by hearing that the soul was eternal, but he had no faith. He had no faith whatsoever in these things. And therefore, he heard without any faith, so it didn't touch him. It didn't affect him. He didn't identify with it. Just as sometimes people receive a Srimad Bhagavatam and they say, I couldn't make any sense of it. I tried to read it, but it just didn't make sense. Whereas we see that when someone is a devotee at heart, is looking for the absolute truth, then when we get the Bhagavatam, it strikes us like a thunderbolt. It is just like, immediately, it is all just makes so much sense. It's completely the truth. And we know it. As soon as we read this knowledge, we know this is the truth and nothing else. So many things I've heard in my life, but now I know it is the truth. But Kamsa was not interested in the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Kamsa was not ready to bow down to a superior. Kamsa was not ready to acknowledge anybody superior. Right? The thought of someone superior to himself was abhorrent, was something that he could not possibly even consider in his mind. I am naturally superior. Naturally. Obviously. I mean, obviously, I am the most powerful. Everyone knows it. It's clear. I mean, there's no one. No one who can even approach me. No one. No one can come near to me. In the Garga Samhita, which is a scripture recognized by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and Bhaktivinoda Thakur as bona fide scripture. So in the Garga Samhita there is a lot of information. A lot. A lot of information about Krishna. And also about Kamsa. So every Jamasthami, I like to dedicate a little time to Kamsa. I feel that sort of he deserves his due for being the extraordinary personality he was. The story begins with Padmavati. Padmavati, the wife of Ugrasena, she was not known to be very bright. In the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, Padmavati is sort of like the barometer of whoever has got it wrong. So whatever Padmavati thinks that's going on, that's definitely not going on. That's Padmavati. Anyway, so somehow or other, Padmavati came from a Himalayan kingdom. And Padmavati was the wife of Ugrasena. So once in the summer, she was going to her ancestral home for a while to be with her parents for a while. And different maid servants were accompanying her, and the girls were playing in the mountains on the fields with a ball. So it was, it looked very nice. And it happened to be so that one Rakshasa named Drumila was just flying past in the sky in his plane. And when he saw all those ladies, and he saw in particularly Padmavati in the middle of all these others, Padmavati by far was the most beautiful and dressed most gorgeously. It was clear that she was the leader of them all. And Drumila then didn't even look at the other girls. He only looked at Padmavati. Padmavati, she had that reddish mark of a married lady, that kumkum. But anyway, he didn't care about such details, right? Those were really not very important to Drumila. But still, being intelligent, Drumila made a little detour and inquired actually who this lady was and who her husband was. And he was told it's Padmavati, and her husband is Ugrasena, king of the Yadus. Next moment, Ugrasena appeared and walked over the fields in the mountain towards Padmavati. The maid servants discreetly withdrew and left them alone. And then she said, "Oh, you are here." He said, "I could not bear the separation from you any longer." It was such a romantic moment. It was just, anyway, from one thing came another. And in the embrace, Kamsa was conceived. But she realized that this was not her husband, because the touch of Drumila was much more forceful. So she said, "Who are you?" He said, "I am Drumila." She said, "You have deceived me." He said, "You are lucky. You are lucky that you're getting a child from me instead of some ordinary mortal." And in this way, she conceived Kamsa, who was immediately extremely powerful. We should know that Kamsa had all these demoniac friends, such as Agasura, Danakasura, Putana, Pralambasura, you name it. All the demons that came to meet Krishna, they were friends or allies of Kamsa. They were submitting to King Kamsa. The question is why? And the reason is because Kamsa went out to conquer them, and Kamsa defeated them all. That is the point. Even Agasura, enormous, right? Agasura, such a huge, huge serpent, somehow or other, Kamsa took an enormous form and wrapped himself around the neck of Agasura, grabbed his heels and pulled tight until Agasura began to choke. And finally said, "Mercy, mercy, mercy." Then Kamsa said, "All right, then you must become my servant. And any time I call upon you, you must appear." "Yes, King Kamsa, yes, King Kamsa." In this way, all the demons submitted to Kamsa. And so Kamsa was extremely powerful. It is said that once Jarasandha was passing with his army. Jarasandha was the emperor of Bihar, of the kingdom of Magadha. And
Jarasandha was an emperor. Many kings were accepting him as their ruler. An emperor is a king of kings. And many kings would pay taxes to him for protection. So Jarasandha was extremely powerful. And once he passed by there, not so far from Mathura. And then there was this big elephant named Kuvalayadipa. It was the biggest elephant in the entire army of Jarasandha. And and they would sometimes give this elephant alcohol. They said they make elephants, sometimes they make them drunk. Some people, when they are drunk, they see elephants. And maybe some elephants, when they're drunk, are seeing people. I'm not sure what elephants see. I forgot. But whatever may be, elephants sometimes do get drunk. And these elephants then become very wild and uncontrolled. So Kuvalayadipa broke loose and stormed into Mathura and just broke the gates and just started smashing things left and right. When Kamsa heard there's a wild elephant destroying the city, Kamsa came out personally. And Kamsa just grabbed that elephant and he threw that elephant 80 yojanas far. 80 yojanas. Over the wall. So that was Kamsa. So, I mean, we got to understand who Kamsa is and who we're dealing with. Not just some lightweight. In fact, Kamsa used to wrestle also. These wrestlers that were fighting with Krishna and Balaram, those wrestlers were friends of Kamsa, and Kamsa would personally wrestle with them for sports, just to stay in shape. So we can understand that Kamsa was not your softy or just some sort of weak personality. Vasudev is a Kshatriya, and one may wonder, but what kind of Kshatriya is Vasudev, right? Vasudev, he's just imprisoned by Kamsa. What is that? You know, shouldn't he have given him a fair fight? Vasudev comes across a little soft, right? I mean, maybe slightly on the wimpy side, you know. Not like your tough dude, I'm Vasudev, right? But no, Vasudev was also a powerful personality. A powerful personality, but he wasn't endowed with superhuman power. Whereas Kamsa did have superhuman power. Vasudev certainly could have given a fair fight to any human being and could have stood up against any king, but he couldn't throw elephants around and stuff like that. Nor was Vasudev powerful enough to defeat Indra, which is something that Kamsa did, because Kamsa actually chased Indra. He chased Indra to a point where Indra just ran away. And then his kingdom stood there. And Kamsa just went there and took the throne of Indra and brought it down to Mathura. And you can understand that Indra's throne is quite opulent. I mean, even more than the one I'm sitting on right now. Right. So that's something extraordinary. So that throne stood there and glittered in Mathura. Of course, not for Kamsa. Although Kamsa offered it to Ugrasena, who sat on it for a while. Then Kamsa sat on it himself, but not so long. Anyway, so now we understand what kind of personality was terrorizing the entire district of Mathura, and why everyone lived in fear of King Kamsa. That there was just no way,
no way to stand up against him. And when Kamsa ordered, what could one do? And so many demoniac soldiers, so many demoniac ministers were assisting him. They were controlling everything.
Brahmanas were not allowed to perform any sacrifices. Cow protection had to stop. The ministers of Kamsa advised that Kamsa should make sure that all sacrifice would stop and that cow protection would immediately be abolished. So, these are the Kamsas. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur writes about Kamsa like a prototype and speaks about the Kamsas. The Kamsas and the Putanas of this world. And speaks about how we are all little Kamsas or little Putanas. We can see like a marriage announcement. Kamsa marries Putana. Basically, that's the scenario of this day and age. What can we say? So, therefore, unlike Vasudev, who was situated in Vasudev, in the state of pure consciousness, in Visuddhisattva, in transcendental goodness, that state of consciousness, of transcendental goodness. And when Vasudev is speaking his prayers, we can see, or not prayers, sorry, when he's speaking his arguments to try and convince Kamsa not to kill Devaki, then Vasudev is speaking in a very deep and profound way. Vasudev continued, therefore, since envious, impious activities cause a body in which one suffers in the next life, why should one act impiously? Consider one's welfare. One should not envy anyone, for an envious person must always feel harm from his enemies, either in this life or in the next. Yes, when one becomes envious, it means that one is eager to harm others, eager to minimize others. And ultimately, such things may begin with thought, but it cannot remain with thought alone. Kamsa also, in the Nectar of Devotion, it is stated that Kamsa was in his palace. He was in his palace, seated on his throne, and thinking, ha, what can Krishna do to me? Nothing. He can't do anything to me because I have many powerful allies. So many powerful allies, like Casey. I mean, Casey is just overpowering, enormous. His manes are touching the sky. And he has big teeth, like horses do, but not ordinary teeth. He is a man-eater as well. Oh yes, women are having miscarriages just upon hearing Casey. What can Casey do to me? Or what can Krishna do to me? When I have Casey, Casey will protect me. Just then, some messenger came into the royal court, said, Your Majesty, a tragedy, Your Majesty, a tragedy. What is it? Your Majesty, a tragedy. Tell me now, what is it? Your Majesty, Casey, no. Your Majesty, Casey has been killed. No. Yes. No. No, it's not possible. He is too powerful. How can it be? Oh, what will I do? Oh, what can it be? Maybe I should just surrender to him. Maybe I, Kamsa,
should just surrender to him. There's just no point. There's just no point to stand up against him. Maybe I should just surrender unto him. No, 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 no. How can I do that? No way. How can I just surrender unto him? What will people say? Me, Kamsa, surrendering to... No, no, that I can't do. Then let me go to Vrindavan and inflict pain on the residents of Vrindavan and torture them. Yes, let me go there now. Oh, yes. Let me just squeeze the blood out of their little skins. Let me go there and show those worms who I am Kamsa. But how can I go? How can I go when I'm too afraid to leave the palace? I cannot go. He's everywhere. He's all pervading. My God, he's all powerful. How can I go? How can I leave this palace? In this way, Kamsa was thinking and was just there in this palace. Envious, totally envious. Ready to harm innocent people. Why harm the residents of Vrindavan? They gave shelter to Krishna. They will be punished for that. And anyway, you know, they should be punished anyway, just for existing. The very reason that they exist, they deserve to be punished. As your younger sister, Vasudev continued, this poor girl, Devaki, is like your own daughter and deserves to be affectionately maintained. You are merciful, and therefore you should not kill her. Indeed, she deserves your affection. Sukadev Goswami continued, O best of the Kuru dynasty, Kamsa was fiercely cruel and was actually a follower of the Rakshasas. Therefore, he could neither be pacified nor terrified by the good instructions given by Vasudev. See, Vasudev tried. He tried to pacify him by saying, okay, she's like, you know, like your own daughter, your younger sister, your cousin sister, as they say in India, yeah, because they're not from the same father. You are merciful, you know, Kamsa, yes, yes, yes. I am Kamsa, I am very merciful. He tried to flatter him. Flattery. So Vasudev tried to manipulate the mind of Kamsa. Like a Sankirtan devotee, playing with the mind, you know. Yes, you are very intelligent, you know. Like, are you a professor? No. Oh, yes. Oh, I see. Not quite, you know, but educated nonetheless. Oh, I see. Ah, I see. Well, then I happen to have these books, but only intelligent people can understand them. So when I saw you, I thought something for you. Something for you. I see. Yes. Like that, Kamsa was also being influenced by Vasudev. And Vasudev told him things about severe reactions that are there. And that one who is envious will, in the next life, will suffer. So why would you do that to yourself? Why would you cause suffering to other living entities if you have to pay for it? For every little thing? In this way, all the Kamsas and all the Putanas can self-reflect and think, yeah, why should we harm any living being if we have to pay for it? But all these things, Kamsa didn't care. Because he didn't believe it. He didn't believe it. This is just, you know, for old ladies. This is just, you know, for toothless tigers. This is just for people who have no power. For them, you know, all this sentimental stuff, all this morality has been written by the weak people, the weaklings. They have made all these rules, right? So that, you know, people who can't take care of themselves. But me, Kamsa, hey, you know, don't mess with me, okay? On this block, you know, I'm the king, okay? King Kamsa, you, okay? You acknowledge your king, right? Or, you know, you're finished. Right? Yes, king. In this way, Kamsa could not see these good arguments. He didn't care about the result of sinful activities, either in this life or the next, because he had no faith in it. He didn't believe in it. When Vasudev saw that Kamsa was determined to kill his sister Devaki, he thought to himself very deeply, considering the imminent danger of death, he thought of another plan to stop Kamsa. Although Vasudev saw the imminent danger that his wife Devaki would be killed, he was convinced of his welfare, because at his birth, the demigods had played drums and kettle drums. He therefore attempted another way to save Devaki. So Anakadandabi, that is the name of Vasudev. Because the demigods, they played drums and kettle drums at the time of his birth. So it was clear that he was, that his destiny was very auspicious. Ultimately, Kamsa was relying on muscle. He was relying on physical strength. But Vasudev, he was not relying on physical strength. He was relying on blessings. And the fact that these drums had been playing at the time of his birth was a sign of those blessings. And therefore, Anakadandabi. That is very interesting. Previously, names were not just given because people liked the sound of them, but also names were often given to express something about the character of a person, the characteristics of a person. And Anakadundabi, he had special blessings, and therefore it was understood that he was in the class of Devata. And ultimately, Devata will be victorious over Asura. There is no question that the Devas, the divine beings, will be victorious over the Asuras. Even although it sometimes appears that the Asuras are winning like anything, and that the devotees are being crushed, but it is never so. It is never so. These are just, it sometimes looks that Krishna is also losing in the fight with a demon. When Krishna appeared as Varaha, he was fighting with Hiranyaksha with a club. And they were fighting with a club, and then Varaha dropped the club. That's when Hiranyaksha thought, now I've got him. But it didn't work. He hit him over the head, and nothing happened. Just like with all his might, like gave a blow which was about to split his head, and then he just stood there. Okay, you're done now. You're done. So in this way, the Supreme Personality of Godhead has divine power, can never be affected by anything from the material world. He's apuruseya. He is no asamurdva. Asamurdva. He has no equal. No one can compare to him. And when that Supreme Lord is bestowing his blessings upon any living being, then tatas shri vijayo budhir dhruva nitir mama, that then one will always be victorious. So Vasudev therefore had confidence. Somehow or other, we're going to get out of this. He knew it. He knew, we'll get out of this situation. How, I don't know. It looks pretty bad right now. And he was talking a mile a minute. This is called fast talking, when you just try to somehow or other say something that will alleviate the difficult situation. Anyway, he tried. Vasudev considered, by delivering all my sons to Kamsa, who is death personified, I shall save the life of Devaki. Perhaps Kamsa will die before my sons take birth, or since he is already destined to die at the hands of my son, one of my sons may kill him. For the time being, let me promise to hand over my sons so that Kamsa will give up this immediate threat, and if in due course of time Kamsa dies, I shall have nothing to fear. So we can see that Vasudeva was very intelligent and dealt with the situation with intelligence. He was controlled. Although he was going through an extremely difficult situation, although it was a kind of situation where some people would panic and come to the point of just screaming, not seeing any way out. But Vasudev was not like that, because Vasudev was very self-controlled. He was not controlled by the mind or the senses, and therefore he was not constantly responding to everyone. No, look at this. Yeah, can you see that? No. That looks good. Yeah. No. Ooh. Watch out, watch out, watch out, watch out. Ooh. Ooh. No. Vasudev was very self-controlled, contained. Even in the midst of such a terrible situation, Vasudev, who was in the mode of pure goodness, was maintaining good sense. His brain still worked. And therefore, he analyzed the situation and came up with smart solutions. Said, all right. Okay, you can have the kids. You don't have to worry about the girl. She ain't going to kill you. It's the kids. You can have them. Take the kids. No problem. You can have them all and you can do with them whatever you like. Knowing very well what Kamsa would try to do. Anyway, we know very well that Kamsa did kill six sons. Six sons of Devaki were killed. But we also know that in a previous life, Kamsa, which is what he heard later on from Narada. Narada came and told him, in a previous life, you have been Kalanemi, and you have been killed by Vishnu. By Vishnu, yes. And the sons of Kalanemi now took birth as the sons of Devaki. So in a way, Kamsa was killing his own sons, right, from his last life. Yes, one after the other. And then, of course, the seventh child had been exchanged, Lord Sankarsan, the womb. And then the eighth child, was Krishna. So it seemed that the seventh child was a miscarriage, because Balaram had been moved from the womb of Devaki to the womb of Rohini. And that is why he is Sankarsan, the one who came from two wombs. So in one sense, Balaram is the full brother of Krishna, not the half brother. He is actually a brother of Krishna, because he also appeared from the womb of Devaki, although he is known as Rohini Nandan, the son of Rohini. But he has two mothers, right, in that way. Came from two wombs. And then the anticlimax. The eighth one was a girl. So here's Kamsa, the baby cries, the guards are waiting, child is born, yes. Oh. call the king, child is born, the king, what, child is born, child is born, king comes in, child is born, and there he stands, all muscle, all anger, this, that. It's a girl. A girl's not going to kill me, right? What can a girl do, right? I mean, nothing, right? No girl can touch me, Kamsa. I mean, I just blew them over. I mean, I don't even have to, I have to be worried about a girl. But then again, you just never know. Right? You just never know, you know. I mean, you know, there was a prophecy. So he just grabbed the girl, right? And Devaki said, no, not this one, it's a girl. Let me at least keep this one child. Kamsa grabbed the girl, threw her against the wall, smashed, and the girl just transformed into Durga. Now, Durga happened to be the deity that Kamsa was worshipping. So Kamsa's there like... Durga Ma! Right? I mean, he was shocked. The deity, the material energy, oh yes. Kamsa was worshipping that material energy. Oh, surely. Definitely. Huh? Yes. Material energy. Give me more. Yes. And then, so Durga was there, and Durga said, actually, the child, you fool, Kamsa, the child that will kill you has already appeared elsewhere. That's how it all began. And the ministers met with Kamsa, and they had a whole meeting about it, and they just said, it's simple. It's very simple. It's not at all complicated. It's very simple. We just kill all the children that have been born within the last 30 days. All of them. Brilliant. I mean, I could have thought of it myself, Kamsa would say. Brilliant. Absolutely. I mean, I would say that makes a lot of sense. We just kill them all. That will do the job. All right. How to do it? How are we going to kill all these children? Well, there happens to be one personality who's quite good at it. Putana is my name. Killing children is my game. Oh yes. So Putana was solicited, and it was terrible. Really, children were just being stolen everywhere. Really, not one, not too many children were killed and disappeared. It was a whole big thing. But anyway, then we know. Putana eventually wasn't so successful with Krishna. And that story I will not enter into now. But I will just conclude how Krishna appeared in this world as the all-powerful Supreme Personality of Godhead. He appeared in a four-armed form, fully dressed, with helmet bedecked with jewels, and ornaments, and hair. And Krishna, coming in that form of Lord Vishnu, then, upon the request of Devaki, was afraid, took the form of a child. He took the form of a child. And then Vasudev carried the child across the river Yamuna. And that river Yamuna is most sacred. It said, because she played with Krishna, she took Krishna, and she played with him. So Ganga is also auspicious, because Ganga touched the feet of Lord Vamanadev. But Yamuna is more auspicious, because she was playing with Krishna in her waters, and Krishna played in her waters, so there's prolonged association with Krishna. And therefore the Yamuna is at least 100 more times more powerful than the Ganga, if not 1,000. So in this way, the Yamuna, Vasudev, somehow or other, had brought Krishna to safety. And meanwhile, in Vrindavan, Yasoda, she had also given birth to a child. At the same time, somehow or other, by divine arrangements, these things were going on. But actually, Yasoda, as she gave birth to the child, apparently, it sort of happened really, really fast and by surprise, because there wasn't really anybody there at that moment. And she gave birth to not one child, but two. She had twins, a boy and a girl. And when Vasudev came with the boy, the boys, they merged. The boy of Devaki became one with the boy of Yasoda. And Vasudev took the girl and brought the girl back. So this we find explained in the Laghu Bhagavatamrita from Srila Rupa Goswami, and also Brihad Bhagavatamrita and other scriptures are referring to this. But this is confidential, and that is why we only discuss this in the morning. Tonight, we will not tell anyone that Krishna actually also appeared in Vrindavan. Vrindavan? Krishna's from Mathura. Why did Krishna appear in this world? Why? Paritrinaya sadunam vinasya suduskritam dharmasam sarpanatya sambhavami yuge yuge. Again and again I appear millennium after millennium to establish the principles of religion and to annihilate the demons. Yes, yes. That's why he appeared. Yeah. So that appearance in Vrindavan is different. To perform the sweetest pastimes with his devotees. The pastimes from the spiritual world with his devotees. So that's why in the morning now, we are for a moment reflecting on Krishna, who is appearing with Balaram, and who is in Vrindavan, and who is really the son of Mother Yasoda, and not a stepson of Yasoda, but actually her real son, right? But also the son of Devaki. These things are all, they have mothers all over the place, somehow or other, right? Everyone has more than one mother. In the spiritual, Balaram has two, Krishna has two, no complications, right? That's possible. And somehow or other, Krishna, in his transcendental form, transcendental appearance in Vrindavan, particularly comes to conquer the devotees with amazing pastimes, to conquer them and to increase their love for them. That is his purpose, not to annihilate demons and to establish principles of religion. In Vrindavan, when he kills demons, he doesn't really care about the killing of the demons. It's about just playing with the devotees. When Mother Yasoda sees Krishna in the coils, of that terrible serpent Kaliya, and he's being strangled, she runs to the Yamuna, and when she sees that this serpent has captured Krishna, she's ready to enter the water and fight with that snake. She's ready. Take him on. Right. She'll somehow or other kill that snake. That's what's on her mind. But all the men hold her back. No, it's okay, Yasoda, you're not going to kill that snake. No way. And everyone is just standing there. And it goes on forever and ever, this strangling business. Krishna in these coils, it goes on so long that the residents of Vrindavan are going mad. It is even described in the Nectar of Devotion that Balaram was remembering this, and in his dream, he was dreaming, and in his dream, Balaram was saying to Krishna, Krishna, hurry up, kill this snake, kill him now, you're driving everyone mad. All the residents of Vrindavan just became mad, and Krishna just brought them to emotions of such a depth that they didn't know they had. I mean, they didn't know they loved Krishna that much. They knew they loved him, but not that much. But now they knew. It just brought out. And at one point, all the residents of Vrindavan just stood there looking at that snake. And they just, because of the stress, of the incredible stress, they couldn't deal with it anymore, and their minds just switched off, and they couldn't see it anymore. They just couldn't see it anymore. Although they stood there, it just when it gets too much, right? Then the mind, you know, some sort of madness, the mind just switches off. The mind creates an illusion, something to get rid of all this pain. So they stood there, the mind just switched off. They didn't see Krishna in the coils of Kaliya anymore. At that point, Krishna pulled himself free from the coils of Kaliya, invited the gopis, they could see him, invited the gopis, and they had a rasa dance on the hoods of Kaliya, all there. Right? All together, dancing this way, that way. That was going on for quite a while. And all the other residents just stood there. And they couldn't see anything. Then the gopis backed down, and then everyone came back to their senses. And somehow or other, in this way, Krishna showed his Vrindavan Nataraj pastimes. He showed his pastimes of being the king of dancers in Vrindavan. What can we say? This Vrindavan Nataraj. So that, of course, is amazing. But everything about Krishna is amazing. Whether he is causing rivers of blood, that's also amazing. Is it amazing? Rivers of blood? Yes, where there's like, you know, horses like islands and heads that have been cut off, they are lying there like rocks in that river of blood. So early in the morning. Intense. Some people, upon reading the Krishna book, said, I can't read this. This is just terrible. How can you read such a terrible book? You know what I mean? Rivers of blood. Rivers. Oh, really? And heads lying in there like rocks, cut off like that, like rocks. It's ghastly. It's horrible. It's too much. Is it? I mean, well, it is, you know. If you would see such a thing, you're laughing now, but just visualize it in your mind for a moment. Rivers of blood. No problem, because every single person who is killed got the mercy of Krishna and gets liberation. So what's the problem? Yes, rivers of blood. And all those souls back to Godhead. No worries. Yeah, kill a few more, Krishna. Come on, kill them, Krishna. I used to, in Australia, used to do the football stadiums in Sankirtan, and I remember there was this woman, and she was just yelling at the top of her lungs, kill him! Kill him! Kill him, Jackson! Kill him! So, in the same way, we are here, cheering Krishna, come on, Krishna, Krishna! Kill them! Kill them! Kill them all! Krishna! Kill them all! Oh my God! These Hare Krishnas, we've always known it. They were religious fanatics, and now it comes out. Lock them up. Dangerous people. Dangerous. No, don't worry. We will not kill. No. But whoever is killed by Krishna is attaining the spiritual world. Liberation. So, no worries. The pastimes of Krishna are all auspicious. The appearance of Krishna is all auspicious. All the stars were all auspicious. Although it was the Ashtami, the eighth day, the moon became full. All auspicious. It became full, Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur said, because to indicate that Krishna was also full, that he was the full appearance of the Lord, not a partial incarnation, not a plenary portion of the Lord, not an avatar of the Lord. No, Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. Etecham Sakalapusam. Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. The supreme, original, supreme personality of Godhead. So in this way, Krishna, we remember Krishna. Krishna Kesava, Krishna Kesava, Krishna Kesava Raksamam. Oh Krishna, Krishna Kesava, please protect me. Pahimam, maintain me. We are remembering how Kesava has two meanings. One is beautiful hair, and the other one is killer of the Kesi demon. So in this way, we look at Krishna for his extraordinary beauty, attracted by his pastimes, attracted by the beauty of his heart, his purity, his noble nature, his kindness, his mercy, and at the same time, we know that Krishna is the upholder of pure and transcendental devotional service. And thus, when Krishna appeared, all the brahmanas who had lived in fear of Kamsa became fearless, and all these brahmanas now were peacefully performing sacrifice. And the flame of the fire was burning undisturbed, and all the oblations were being performed, although for so long brahmanas had secretly swaha, swaha, swaha. Quick, okay. Your yakya is already finished. Yeah, it's over, it's over. Yeah. It took only 3 minutes. Swaha, swaha, swaha. But now, the yakya was being performed. And in this way, Krishna appeared in this world and brought all auspiciousness for all, equally for all, for the devotees, for the demons, for Vasudev, Devaki, and for Kamsa.